Welcome back to Pep Talk, News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable, 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and of course we're on the app. Phone number is 850-437-1620 if you'd like to be part of the conversation today. Tappy Villain is the Supervisor of Elections for Santa Rosa County. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so I understand that you're wrapping up the last election that just happened. Tell us a little bit about that.
We are. Actually, this morning, we just certified our official results for the primary that was held a week ago. And so now we will move forward on Thursday with our state-mandated audit. And so we'll have this one in the books come Thursday afternoon.
Tell us a little bit about the audit. What does that all entail? Why are you doing it? Things like that.
So the state has required us since about 2008 to do an audit on all of our election results. There are actually two different types of audits you can do, a manual or an automated. Manual, you would just do one precinct. You would randomly draw that precinct and then draw the contest, and if it was a primary, the party. And we did manual audits for many years, and then in 2022, we actually started doing an automated audit. And so now we are able to audit 100% of our ballots each and every election. So that will take place on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we're excited about it.
Is there a benefit of doing, obviously the benefit of doing automated is that, like you said, you get to do 100% of it. In some voters' minds, there still might be questions. So how are they assured that that's an accurate audit as opposed to what maybe a hand count would provide?
So with the automated audit, it is a completely separate system than our tabulation pieces of equipment. So it's completely separate. We scan those ballots in, and then, again, we send them to our vendor, and then they come back with the results of the audit. So, again, it's a completely separate system, so that tends to put voters' minds at ease.
Oh, absolutely. Wonderful. So I know that you're also preparing for the next election just around the corner.
We are. We will, after Thursday afternoon, we will start putting our ballot together for the upcoming November election. And so there will be 6 constitutional amendments that will be on this ballot, along with many, many different contests. And so we should get all of that information finalized from the state at the end of this week so we can get to work on our ballot.
Okay. So with the 6 amendments that are going to be up, and I don't mean to put you on the spot if you don't have them all memorized, but can you maybe tell the voters about like what the topics are going to be at least?
I know that there's one about marijuana. I know there's one about abortion. But honestly, they literally just sent us those amendments. Mm-hmm. So other than that, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Yeah. Robert Bender was here yesterday, and he mentioned something about they have to finalize language on those things before they can even appear on the ballot.
Correct. Yep. So there's a lot that goes into it. And literally just sent us the information. And as we've been wrapping up the primary, haven't had a lot of time to put all of that together yet.
Okay. Wonderful. But
we'll be working on it this week.
All right. So Tappy Villain, once again, our guest. She is the Supervisor of Elections for Santa Rosa County. If you have any questions, 850-437-1620. So I would guess that military ballots probably need to go out pretty soon.
They will. For the general election, the federal deadline we have is September 21st. So they have to be in the mail for any of our military members that are out of county and also our overseas voters.
Okay. Wonderful. And then just kind of maybe going back to the primary real quick, did you notice any issues that cropped up during the primary?
We really didn't have any issues. It was really an overall good day. Of course, we always want voter turnout to be a little better. Mm-hmm. Our voter turnout overall was 25.59%. And historically, we average anywhere from 25 to 26% in a primary. Again, our goal is to be much higher than that, especially because there are so many local candidates that are on the primary ballot. And it's just, it's every election's important, but mm-hmm. primaries are very important.
Absolutely.
Vote by mail, our early voting, and our election day were all successful.
Wonderful. So with the turnout, I asked Robert the same question yesterday, so I'll just ask you, were there a lot of contested races? Was the turnout impacted by maybe a lack of a hot topic that was on the ballot? I mean, how did you feel that the primary went in terms of that turnout?
I think it it went well. You know, in a primary, we typically see a few more people in total vote on election day. And I think it's because they know that people are going to be out there waving. People that they know, people that are their neighbors, someone that's running for office that they know. But this time, we saw actually a few more that actually either that voted early, so either voted by mail or early voted as opposed to election day. The numbers were still very, very close, but it's always interesting to see that. Now, in a general election, we typically see people vote early as opposed to come out election day because they want to make sure that I don't miss this one. So, and again, voting early meaning either they cast a vote by mail ballot or they vote early at an early voting site.
Oh, interesting. Okay, sounds good. Well, I know you wanted to talk a little bit about early voting hours for Santa Rosa County as well.
Yes, so we will ramp that up on October 21st, and it will run through November 2nd. We have 6 locations throughout the county, 3 in the north end, 3 in the south end, and all the locations will be open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., so we'll have plenty of opportunities for people to vote early. It'll be 13 consecutive days of early voting. It'll include 2 Saturdays and 1 Sunday. So the locations in the north end are our main office in Milton, Santa Rosa County Auditorium, and the Pace Community Center. And then in the south end is the Tiger Point Community Center, the South Santa Rosa Service Center, and the Navarre Community Gym. And the good thing about early voting is people can go to any one of those locations and cast that early vote. Whereas on election day, people must go to the precinct where they live. So a lot of times if somebody has been, maybe the method they have chosen has been early voting, you know, we're creatures of habit. We go back to the last place that we went before, and that may or may not be their precinct. So sometimes on election day, we spend a lot of time, we meaning my staff, our poll workers spend a lot of time getting people to the correct place. But a lot of people take advantage of early voting. It's really become very popular since about 2016, and we've expanded our sites, and so I anticipate they will all be very busy for the upcoming general.
Wonderful. And it's great that you offer different locations and different days for people to be able to show up to basically give them every opportunity to show up and vote.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And people always ask, they say, oh, I want to come around 6 o'clock. Do you think they'll have a line? Well, you know, we don't know. But we always encourage people, if they don't want to stand in line or maybe they're not able to stand in line, go on Sunday. Sundays, even in a general election, tend to be some of our slower days. So go on Sunday.
That's an interesting tip. Take note of it. Wonderful. So, I mean, what does the voter need to bring with them? Is there any sort of identification?
Yep. So there's 12 acceptable forms of ID. And those are all listed on our website, votesantarosa.gov. The most common is a Florida driver's license or Florida ID card, a military ID. We see a lot of those. But what Florida law requires is that someone must, on their ID that they present, must have a picture and a signature. So they may have a ID that is acceptable by law, and maybe it only has a picture. They can have produce another form of identification with a signature. So they can do a combination of both. But sometimes people are hesitant because, well, maybe my address changed. You know, I haven't updated my driver's license yet. Well, we're not the driver's license police. And so it must have a picture and a signature. If an address has changed, we can make that change for that voter within the county and even from another county in Florida.
Oh, wow.
So we can do that. Now, it may require that they go to another place to vote on election day. They may not be at the correct place, but we can make those updates.
Okay. And talk to me a little bit about the provisional ballots and how those work.
So, great question. Provisional is when a voter comes in and we cannot determine their eligibility at that moment. And so they are offered a provisional ballot. And so they vote their ballot, and then it goes back into a provisional envelope, which a voter has to fill out some information on the envelope, sign it, and then, of course, the clerk of that precinct or early voting site has to sign that too. That ballot then comes back to our office and is presented to our canvassing board, which is made up of a judge, county commissioner, and the supervisor of elections. And so the canvassing board, we review all of those provisional ballots the Thursday after the election. And so, you know, this time we saw where we had a few people who their ID had expired. They just had not had a chance to go get a new driver's license. So in that circumstance, we actually would compare the signature that we have on their voter record to the signature that they signed on that envelope.
Okay. Wonderful.
And then we had some people that they registered too late. Mm-hmm. You know, they thought they were registered, thought they had moved their registration over from another state, and they didn't. So there's all kinds of different reasons.
Okay, wonderful. Well, we'll come back to this conversation in just a moment. Tappy Villain is our guest on Pep Talk.
Adults have prediabetes, yet 80% don't know that they have it. The Florida Department of Health in Santa Rosa County will begin a national diabetes prevention class on August 27th at no cost to you to assist residents in making healthy lifestyle changes. People with prediabetes are at higher risk for developing type 2 diabetes, stroke, and heart disease. But that risk can be reversed by choosing a healthy diet and increasing physical activity. Call 850-564-2249 for additional information on upcoming classes.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Welcome back to Pep Talk, News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable, 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and of course on the app. 850-437-1620 if you have a question for our guest. Tappy Villain, the Supervisor of Elections from Santa Rosa County, is our guest. Thanks again for being here today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right, so we were talking a little bit about provisional ballots. Was there anything additional that people needed to know about that?
No, we see them filled out for all different types of reasons. And so we will always make sure that if it is someone who ultimately is not registered to vote, and that's why they've had to vote provisionally, that we capture that registration when we have the person there. Or maybe it's a party change or something to that effect. We want to make sure that we have all of their stuff in line so that they're ready to go for the next election.
Mm-hmm. And I know that we were talking a little bit off air, so you wanted to talk a little bit about vote by mail coming up?
Vote by mail, yes. We've had some changes to vote by mail. A good many changes went into effect in 2022, but this will be our first presidential with these changes as well. And I know a lot of people prefer, as their method of voting, to vote by mail. But just want to make sure people realize your request is only good for one election cycle, meaning at the end of this year, December 31st, all vote by mail requests will expire. And so if you want to vote by mail in 2026, you'll need to make that request again. Mm-hmm. For many years, it was good for two election cycles. And so we've seen that law kind of go back and forth. And so now we're back to one. Also, when requesting a ballot, we require additional information now per the law. So it used to be when you called to request a ballot or you went online, you just had to put your name, date of birth, address where you want it to be mailed. Now we need Florida driver's license number, Florida ID number, or the last four of your socials so that information can be verified.
Mm.
Also, lastly, we do have what we call secure ballot intake stations or drop boxes, formerly known as drop boxes.
Okay.
All of those are placed at all of our early voting sites and our office locations. So if someone is voting by mail, but they don't want to put that vote by mail ballot into the mailbox, and maybe they just don't have enough time, by law, we are required to have those at all of our early voting sites and our office locations so people can drop those off. Our boxes are manned all the time by a staff member or by a poll worker. And if it's at a different location than our main office, all those come back at the end of each day.
Okay.
So just to let people be aware of that, because many times people think, I don't know, I'd like to drop it off, but I'm just not sure if I can. And that is completely allowable by law.
Well, I was going to ask about that, because drop boxes, depending on where you are in the country, people have strong feelings about them.
Absolutely.
So what you're saying is that there's a person attached to it. At the end of the day, all those ballots go with them back to your office.
Yes. We don't have any boxes that are located outside. All of ours are inside the polling room, early voting site, or, of course, our office locations.
Wonderful. It's good to know that they have that security about them, because, like I said, there are strong feelings about it. So we wanted to talk about the book closing for registration as well.
Yes, very important. Books close on October 7th. So that means for a general election that if somebody needs to register to vote, they must do so by October 7th. We just finished a primary. And I know people, you know, changed parties. Some people did ahead of the primary. That's really not something you have to do. If you want to, that's fine, but not before a general election, because general election, pretty much everyone will get the same ballot unless there's some, you know, precincts that have different contests on there. But your ballot's not based on your party affiliation in a general election. So the most important thing is just to make sure you're registered.
Okay. Well, so we have another break coming up here in about 30 seconds. Is there any additional information that people need to know as they're preparing to vote here again in a little bit?
Just make sure that you're familiar with what's going to be on the ballot. Again, there will be six amendments. So those can sometimes take a little bit of time to do some research on. And we will be sending mailing sample ballots to all voter households probably mid-October-ish.
Okay, wonderful. Tappy Villane, Supervisor of Elections for Santa Rosa County, is our guest on Pep Talk. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, it's Bess Marks with Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor. I want to read a little letter that I got from a wonderful friend, and she said, "Oh my gosh, wow, Bess, you and the Lazy Boy design team, you nailed it. We love it. We just can't believe it's ours." And that's what we call a standing ovation for our design team. Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor, Mobile, Pensacola, and Spanish Fort. Just like a picture out of a magazine.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, tonight at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. Tonight, it's Christy D's Bad Juju, a music staple in Pensacola. Playing the top 40 hits from the 60s to today, Motown and the Obscure, the way you want to hear them. Bands on the Beach, tonight at 7 with Christy D's Bad Juju.
Hey, Andrew McKay here on the Pensacola Morning News. We talked with Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, particularly about the fights and the sort of bad behavior surrounding high school and other football games in Escambia County. We also had a good episode of Days of Our Milton, where people were upset about, you know, a lot of different things, because it's always a lot of different things. Also, Santa Rosa County Commission, you know, some interesting discussions there, especially about what happened after the election. So lots of stuff on the podcast page at newsradio923.com.
News Radio 92.3 gets your live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Welcome back to Pep Talk, News Radio Pensacola, informative, local, dependable, 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and the app, 850-437-1620. If you'd like to text our guest, Tappy Villane, the Supervisor of Elections, is our guest today. We did have a question come in. That question is, are you going to be sending out sample ballots?
We will. My best guesstimate right now, it will be around the middle of October. We'll have a better idea once we get our ballot put together and all of that has been approved and got to the printer. So yes, they will be going to all voter households.
Okay. Poll workers, can't do Election Day without poll workers. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yes. We work with anywhere from about 300 to 400 poll workers in any given election. They are our eyes and our ears on election, not just on Election Day, but during early voting as well. We also have some poll workers that come into our office and help us process our vote-by-mail ballots because we send everything out of our office, stuffing all the envelopes, putting everything together, and then when things are returned, processing those returns as well. Mm-hmm. And so we have a lot of opportunity. I always tell someone if they're interested in the process, become a poll worker. And sometimes people think, oh, well, I have to commit to Election Day. That's a long day. There's so many other opportunities if somebody can't just work a whole election day. So we love to have people come in, learn about the process, be part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, our poll workers are amazing and they do a great job. We could not. I have an office of 7 staff plus myself, so there's 8 of us, for over 139,000 voters. We could not do what we do without our poll workers.
So is there opportunities for them to come in and interact with your staff and
Absolutely.
Get an idea of what those jobs are?
Absolutely, yes. We of course, people have to go through training each and every election because they're all different.
Mm-hmm.
And so it feels like we just got through training for the primary, and we will start in 2 weeks training for the general.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's, you know, we're one big family, and we're all in this together. It takes so many folks. It takes not only my staff, but poll workers, but community partners as well to ensure that that election day, election time goes smoothly. You know, we couldn't do it without our churches giving us facilities to vote on election day, our community centers, people making sure places are clean, the sheriff's department making sure that they go and monitor and make sure that traffic is running smoothly around the polling location. So it takes all of us, and I'm proud of all of those partnerships that we have.
Well, that's wonderful. So once again, what is the website that they can go to if they would like more information?
VoteSantaRosa.gov.
All right, Tappy Villain, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it on Pep Talk.
Thank you.